CliffCentral.com. Yeah, good morning, everybody. Here we are. It's live. It's Monday. It's already deep into January. Deep in. Isn't that right, Mubs?
Just a little bit after halfway, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, just a little bit after halfway, isn't it?
We've definitely gone past the tip.
Yeah. It's all happening. Good morning. Sia's here, Ben's here, Mubs is here, we're here. Lucas is here, and we're ready to entertain you magnificently for 3 hours. By the way, a little later on today, we have an interesting guest in the... As I've said before.
I don't know that we're going to be able to get a lot out of that guest.
Oh, yeah, true. Okay. At that rate.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. So, okay, that's all we needed to tell you. Now we can finish the show.
Oh, okay.
There is an interesting thing happening a little bit later on. He is a keynote speaker, a business consultant, an author. His name is Robin Wheeler. He will be joining us. Now, what makes this guy interesting is he's got a whole take on how you should approach the year. And since it's still the beginning of the year, there are a lot of people who are going, what should we do? What should we do? He's got some answers for you. Might just be able to help you. Make things a little more interesting. And for those of us who need a pick-me-up on a Monday, that's probably a good thing. I got a couple of things to play for you, which I found over the weekend. It's pretty interesting. We got a public service announcement or two. Rami and Romeo will come in later on. They've got the show on at 9 this morning.
Oh.
Yeah, remember we played a clip of Rami. She was at Black Coffee's wedding.
Yes.
Yeah.
She started whispering like this.
Yes. Telling us about all the famous people who were there and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So lots to catch up on with her. And we'll take your thoughts on Skype. You can always call us on Cliff Central, one word. You can also get hold of us on the WhatsApp, which is 079-748-2090, which means voice notes. It means messages to the screen here in the studio, all that stuff. And you can also send us messages on WeChat, which is, of course, where we started off. It was the platform that we first used on mobile phones, and it's still running. A lot of people like to listen to us on the WeChat. Now, someone called Vanessa Cowie sent me a picture of, in fact, she sent me the whole link, to a product that I want.
Which is what?
You know, there are a lot of smart people in the world.
Thank goodness for them.
Yeah, they invent great stuff. Now, at the bottom of my iPhone, there's that little hole that you put the cable into when you charge it, when you sync it up to your laptop or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, that's not the headphone jack.
Well, it is now as well. Now, some brilliant company has invented a tiny little device that goes in there with a magnetized end to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a cable with a magnetized end to it that clicks onto that.
Okay.
So you never have things ripping out of your phone. You never have... It magnetically, it just... They attract the... It's beautiful. I don't know what to say. It's so clever. So it's a little, like almost like a little mini USB thing that comes out, and then you attach the cable to that. So it charges, it syncs, it does everything it needs to do. See this, Mubs? Look at that. You stick that thing into the phone, and you never need to keep stuffing things into your phone.
So have these guys essentially done a better job than Apple?
Correct.
Ah.
This is what makes living right now the best ever, is that you can make the iPhone, you're such a genius. But then someone will come along and they'll make this thing, which improves the whole experience. And they can make money out of it. Not a goddamn thing Apple can do. It's brilliant, right?
21st century, guys.
I like that. Don't you love that? That is smart. That makes my day. I saw that yesterday and I almost started dancing around the room. It's the little things that make me happy.
Did you almost like shed a little tear as well?
Did I shed a tear?
Yeah.
Sia.
Just maybe.
I didn't shed a tear.
Shed a tear.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Shed a tear.
Shed a tear.
That's what it is.
That is properly one of the cleverest things ever. Listen to this. Here's Apple's ad. This is how out of ideas they are.
Apple continues to innovate. Behold, Apple Watch 2. Now with a second hand. And a glittery watch band. And you'll want to be the first in line for the new iPhone. Featuring a work ringtone.
Hello?
A and our iPad now comes in green. Wait, that's it? Apple, we're not out of ideas. You're out of ideas.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that about right?
Yeah,
that's
pretty
a great
much.
Tagline.
Yeah, I
pretty
thought that would make much. You feel better this morning. Oh, all right. Listen,
I miss polyphonic ringtones. Actually,
do you remember those?
do you remember the ads for polyphonic ringtones? And then they would play it, and you'd be going, "Wow,
I need that."
And you'd have to remember the little code for the song you wanted. It's like, ooh, 3-4-1-0.
And they would charge you like a wounded buffalo, so you'd have some stupid ringtone.
They would charge you more than like a really good app today. Just for
Oh, my goodness.
That's a good point well made. Those ringtones cost more than an app.
I remember I actually had a Westlife song as my ringtone at one point, and I thought I was the coolest thing.
Well, you were.
In the world.
Then you were, right?
Like, it just buzzed for 3 seconds and that made your life.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you had just gotten the ringtone, you would always let the phone ring a little bit longer before you answer it so everybody can hear.
How stupid. Do you have a personalized ringtone? No.
No,
I don't.
But they were a big deal. Everyone was like, I'm getting my favorite song. And then it's like, I didn't hear my phone ring like 3 times, but someone keeps playing my song.
It's like the wallpaper on your laptop or the wallpaper on your phone too. Remember they used to charge us for those as well.
Yes, for like a car or something so stupid.
You get like a Tyra Banks wallpaper for like 12 grand 50. And now it's like,
but get you a picture of Tyra Banks. You didn't even, please, Tyra Banks wallpaper would have been something. Before that, you had those screens that didn't even, you couldn't even get color on them. Do you remember those?
They were like green or orange.
You had pixels. Yeah. So you could have like a drawing of like something, you know?
No, but then you could download like brands.
The world.
No, but then again, for like 8 Rand 50, you could download like Nike or Adidas or Puma or something. That's and then you'd have that.
Ridiculous.
Again, you would pay money for that.
But that was innovation at its best then. It was so awesome.
Oh, sweet. Look at that. You got Microsoft as your backdrop.
Oh, my God. I remember as well, I had a phone with an interchangeable face. Oh, that was the best.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
And then you would get those horrible Chinese knockoffs that didn't quite fit your phone.
God, how terrible. The stuff we've bought over the years we don't need anymore, you know? Maybe one day people will laugh at us and go, these people had desktops and laptops and all you needed was this sheet of glass. Idiots.
And the hologram that comes out of it.
Yeah.
Thank goodness for progressing as society.
Yeah, right. Now we need polyphonic ringtones back. I almost want one on my phone. I'm going to change my phone to that work one we just played. All right. What happened over the weekend that we need to get into? Because we'll start obviously with the news just now. But anybody do anything fun? Anything exciting happen?
Well, Gareth, I learned more about myself.
How so, Ben?
I house sat for a friend of mine, and him and his wife have 2 dogs and 2 cats. So Daniel and I wanted to get a dog at some stage.
I knew it.
Make that move.
You were more doggy than you were catty, and the only reason you stuck to cats is because you can't have a dog where you're living now.
Well, went into the weekend thinking that.
That's a yes.
And then came home on Sunday being very happy that just meowses isn't alive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The dogs are cool and stuff, but they're kind of like children. They kind of need you a lot.
Mm.
They're very needy. They look at you in very expectant eyes. Like, it's fun. Like, we took them for a walk, so we're in Parkhurst. And there is a whole subculture of Joburg people out there, which I've never seen before.
No. What did I say to you on Friday? I warned you. All these people, they use the dog to signal that they're good people.
Yes.
But they're not good people.
But it gets worse.
Is that the psychology of having dogs?
Yeah, people. Guys, it was quite something. It literally, we went into this little clearing, which we thought was a park, and then after we navigated the poos and the mud, because some people don't pick up their own dog shit, which we had to do. That's another story. And then we get into this like kind of open area, and there are just cyclists and middle-aged men in Lycra, and then people running with dogs. But the whole Jedi thing, you've got to level 5 if you can run without a leash on your dog.
Mm.
And the ones
and your
that
dog
do
runs
that,
next to you.
And they're smug, and they're so smug because they don't need a leash. And even the dogs look smug. And then, like, we're on the leash, the dogs are kind of like doing left and right.
No, it's a new, because people are always trying to find ways to be unequal. This is the purpose of life. People are always trying to be better than each other. They're always trying to show how they're better than each other, even if they're not.
Yeah. No, it goes further, Gareth. I saw a guy.
Hold on. Some people wake up in the morning and their sole purpose, their whole reason for existence is to let other people know they're better.
Yeah.
So my dog is better.
Yeah, one of the ways they do that is through their children or their dogs. They're different things.
Their weight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Their Instagram
Correct.
Feed.
I'd never thought I'd see a smug Jack Russell, but I saw one. He was so smug, running next to his odor, like, yeah, I'm not going to sniff that pee. And he was so smug, you could see it. And then some guy was mowing his lawn, and his dog was walking next to him, no leash.
It's very bourgeois.
And I look at me. Look at my dog.
Yeah.
So cool.
So what kind of dogs were these?
Labradors. They're beautiful.
Beautiful.
If you go onto my Instagram page, you'll see both Cokie and Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually like celebrities in the area. So we're walking and people are actually greeting the dogs.
See, not humans, dogs.
No, they're greeting the dogs. Like,
they could care less about Ben and Daniela. You might as well have just been servants.
Well, that's kind of how I like it, go around anonymously. But it was quite something. So that was my weekend of dog orientation. They're very cool. We might look after them again, but I'm in no rush to get one.
Okay, that's quite a revelation.
Yeah,
I was very sure you'd be more of a dog person.
I do like dogs, but then Meowsers is cool.
Right, I saw lots of people putting pictures of themselves up over the weekend with Rory McIlroy as a tiny, tiny little figure in the background. A lot of people with pictures of what's supposed to be Rory McIlroy, but you can't really tell. I mean, I wouldn't know. Wearing a cap.
An absolute superstar that guy is.
Sure. But all these people putting up these pictures, there must have been a lot of people that opened.
There was a lot. Yesterday in particular, the crowd was just, yeah.
But it's the first time anyone's willingly gone to the East Rand. and not gone there for a shooting or a robbing.
Paid money and come back a better person. Well entertained.
Well, good
Shame.
For them. Good for those people. I see the MacBook has that magnetic tech for years. They started it not for the iPhone, though, Derek. Yes, Derek, but that's what makes this so brilliant is if Apple was smart, they would have used the same technology they used for the power cable, which we all know about because that just goes click magnetically. They'd have used that for the iPhone. But no, someone much smarter than them has gone and figured it out for them. Now they'll have to go and buy that company, and that guy will have to be a billionaire. Ah,
not a bad gig.
No.
At all.
Genius. Elche says, good morning, listening to you guys on the Cliff Central app. Thank you. And today, the Leadership Transformation Platform from 12 to 3 p.m. on cliffcentral.com. And just a reminder there from the Leadership Platform, also messaging us in this morning. I saw Casper De Vries on Friday. He's thinking of launching a brand new excuse to have naked men in the studio.
Oh. I am for this in every way possible.
It took him all of 10 seconds to say to me, I'm going to pitch this idea. You're going to have to say yes. I need to have good-looking naked men in the studio. And, of course, what do I say? I mean, am I going to fight with Casper De Vries?
No.
He's in the last stages of his life.
Shame.
No, he's in the final stretch.
So the guy needs some excitement, you know?
And what is this grand idea of his?
All I know is that it's probably going to mean guys are in here with their dicks out or something.
That's I think fine. Casper should like produce, you know, the Magic Mike Broadway production in South Africa. Right. Do you know what I mean? Like
it should be
magic
singing,
money.
Singing and dancing and not a lot of clothes.
True.
Right.
Well, that's pretty, all of his favorite things.
Isn't that pretty much Broadway as it is already? Here is a comment from London Listener.
Right.
Yeah. London Listener says, hey, Gareth, for your info, you're an idiot. You've been saying could care less instead of couldn't care less. The saying is, couldn't care less. If you could care less, then you care. If you couldn't care less, then you care the least amount you could care, which is not caring at all, which is what the saying is meant to be. Thank you, London Listener.
Wow.
Hey, some people get a thrill out of correcting
me.
So
okay, fine.
Good for them on this Monday morning. All right, London Listener. Very exciting. And then someone else who wants to mention something. Hey, Gareth and team, I enjoyed your podcast on Wednesday with Jeremy Mansfield. I'm currently living and teaching in Thailand, and I'm actually from a pineapple farm in Bathurst, which is what we spoke to Jeremy about, among other things. I had such a laugh listening to him describe how the farmers there talk and tell stories. It's so true. I can tell you all my dad's stories in order of greatness. Each year, the stories also have more and more adjectives added to them. Eastern Cape adjectives, that is. He has this one story about a lion invading our campsite in the Kalahari. When the incident first happened, the story was about 10 minutes long. It's now a good, solid, hour-long story. I listen to your show every day. It's played a huge part in me living far from home for the first time and managing to feel close. So thank you for doing what you do. Cheers, Kate. And then she finishes it with a little picture of a pineapple.
Aww.
Isn't that nice?
That is sweet.
So lots of interesting stuff happening. All right, we've got a little bit of time. I want to play this for you. Sia found this, actually. I've been laughing about it all weekend. This is a show in Australia. It's a television show in Australia. These three women are about to start talking about some news story. And they're all three wearing white dresses. And the one in the middle, who you'll hear, she's very strident. She's obviously the host of the show. And the other two are correspondents. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got Bianca and then we've got Michelle and Kelly.
Okay. There we go, girl.
So the one girl, the let's call her the Kelly because the Michelle's definitely the ugly one on the right.
Oh, what's wrong?
So the one on the left, imagine the scene. So the one in the middle, she's Beyonce, right? She's got the long brown hair. She's clearly the most experienced news anchor. It's her show. And then the one on the left is blonde. She's very pretty, but she's in Sydney, and she obviously there's a bit of an ego battle between these two.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Michelle, she just shuts up and minds her own business, as Michelle should. Okay? So listen to what happens here, because the one in the middle, the Beyonce of the three, she is livid that they're all wearing white. She says this is not acceptable, and she warned them. She said, I warned you 2 hours ago to change that goddamn dress.
Yep.
And the Kelly Rowland one, she just refuses to listen. She's like, it's not a big deal. I have no time for this. Let's get on with the show. We got to do this. We got to file the story. Yeah. This is a big deal in television, believe it or not.
Yeah. I need Julie to put a jacket on because we're all in white. I asked her, I asked her before we came on. Julie, you need to put a jacket on.
Flat out, I haven't had time. Does someone?
I told you 2 hours ago. We know
Amber,
in chat room.
This is not. So I'm sorry. I've been flat out.
Well, all right. So Amber is obviously. Amber's the one in the middle. She's the Beyonce.
Yeah.
Then this is Julie is the Kelly. And then the Michelle one's pulling faces because she's embarrassed.
And we still haven't heard from her.
Yeah, not a peep.
I'll call wardrobe and we'll get something.
No, if you give me a second, if we can ask, I'm not sure who your lineup is today, if there's just a jacket floating around out there, ask Danica.
Unless you want to run down and see if there's a jacket.
No, you're right. You're right, because you told me it's fine, Sandy, but there can't be three of us.
No.
And I've made this clear 2.5 hours ago.
Right.
Amber, if it's an issue, I can get on out of here.
It is an issue. Go and grab a jacket.
Uh-oh.
Jenny, someone able to grab me a jacket, please. If it's an issue, I can...
I wasn't saying it for no reason. The wardrobe girls will be furious downstairs.
I'm wearing blue for one, Amber. I don't want to be having this.
Jenny... Get someone, a producer. I told her there's 2.5. There's one hanging up outside the control room. Get it on. There's a black one hanging up.
Can you believe this so far?
Oh, gosh.
Deteriorating. This relationship of theirs on screen is going to be very difficult.
There's a black one hanging up on the back
of
my one.
If there's an issue, I can just head on out and get back to work because I'm flat chat. I genuinely forgot.
I told you.
If it's an issue, I'll just jump on out, honestly.
Fine, jump on out.
Yep.
You'd like to do.
She's like saying, don't even be part of the show, right?
Come on, wearing a jacket is not... I asked you 2.5 hours ago. It's not the hardest request.
Amber, please. This is not the only thing I'm doing today.
Yeah, there's one.
What? Let me put the subtext in here. When she goes, Amber, and there's a gap, and she goes, please, what she means is, you bitch. Can we get on with the show? Nobody cares that we're all wearing white except you, because this is a beautiful titty dress I'm wearing, and I'm going to keep on wearing it.
Oh, these women are setting us back. Now, Michelle is actually the smartest one.
Because she's staying out.
Because she is refusing to be dragged in this stupid conversation.
Do you want to hear more?
Yeah.
One hanging on the rack. I know there's two. I know it's not your issue, but I did ask Julie 2.5 hours ago.
No, that's fine. If it's black. Yeah, cool. As long as that mic's working for everyone.
She reappears wearing a black jacket over the white top. She looks very smart.
I have to be honest. I would be the Beyonce. That's a problem for me.
All right, hang on. She tidies up. She readjusts the microphone. And they're ready to go. All right.
We'll go for that. Time now to head into the chat room. Joining me today is psychologist Sandy Ray in Melbourne and Nine's Julie Snook in Sydney. A big welcome to both of you. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon.
We're all getting
all
along.
Smiles.
We're all getting along so well now. Isn't that nice, huh?
No one says a thing.
Well, I'll tell you something. They eventually... I mean, you can hear how well it's going. So I just want you to hear how, because now it's all so fake.
In Sydney, a big welcome to both of you. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon.
Hi, everybody.
First up today, there are explosive allegations that Russia has extremely damaging information on Donald Trump, allegedly involving Trump participating in a very...
All right, and you, from there on, they kind of get into the news, but it's just fantastic. To me, this is such entertaining stuff. I wish they'd leave the cameras on the whole time, because you never see the news people being anything but, hi, everybody, you know?
Meanwhile.
They hate each other. They want to kill each other.
Over dress color.
Mm-hmm.
Especially those horribly contrived morning shows where you see those duos working together in America for like 35 years. And because, it's like, oh, I'm going to wake up next to you every day, you old git.
Yeah, because those morning shows, the daytime shows, they have to be happy, right? Because the audience is miserable.
Mm.
The audience is sitting there going, oh, you've got to get ready for work. And there's some breakfast TV show on. And they're all super happy people who have had way too much coffee. Am I wrong?
True.
You've seen them on, what's that, Espresso.
But the truth is, one of the biggest scandals in morning TV last year was with live... with Kelly, well, Kelly Ripa, co-hosts the show with Michael Strahan.
That's right.
And they were like for years just like this happy,
the
fantastic.
Best of friends,
exactly. Yeah. But Michael randomly left last year and literally just like the day before, he was just like, screw it, I'm getting a job on Good Morning America, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And there we go. It was like a TV divorce.
Now
Kelly says she doesn't want to co-host anymore. Well, it's just live with Kelly now.
She's been burned, you see.
Oh. Messy.
Mm-hmm.
Just messy.
All right, we better get to news. It is time to check in on the latest headlines. It is Monday morning, and Mabali Moloi has got her eye on everything that's going on. You could reach us by Skyping us, Cliff Central, one word. You can send in a message on WeChat, as some people have, or you can send us a WhatsApp, believe it or not, on 0797482090. That's the number to WhatsApp us on. So any way you prefer it. Any way you like it, that's the way you message. Any way you like it. All right, let's get into this.
La 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 la.
And the news brought to you by Col Cacio Pizzeria. I had some Col Cacio pizza over the weekend. I was feeling lazy, so I ordered it, and they delivered, and it was magnificent. You know what kind of a pizza I like, right?
Very, very standard.
Yeah. Careful what words you use.
No frills, no fuss about your pizza.
Right.
It's just a margarita.
Margarita.
That's it.
Chili on side.
Some chili.
Oof. Chili on side.
Yes, yes.
That's what you want. And it was magic. They just get that. They manage to get that base just right. That's the hard part of a pizza. It's got the what you put on top is nothing. That base has got to be right. It's all about the base.
About the base. No.
Cacio. It's all. All right, let's get on.
We're in a jingly mood this morning.
Big time. We're going to be, Sia and I are going to start a show. All right, Mabs, what's happening?
Okay, so the president, among many other South Africans, expressed their deep sadness yesterday at the loss of another musical legend. That would be South African jazz legend Tandi Claassen, who passed away earlier on Sunday at the age of 86. And this is after she'd been battling pancreatic cancer.
86, though. I mean, you know,
yeah.
not a bad innings.
Not a bad innings.
No.
Ooh, but pancreatic cancer. Hey?
No,
I mean, isn't
horrible.
That just one of the most ruthless types of cancer?
Ugh, it's just, well, I hate cancer.
I know,
ugh.
All of it. You know, she's been described as many things, including a leading pioneer of the jazz music scene, but also has been described as a social and political activist, which she was.
Yes.
She received a lot of international acclaim as well. And yeah, the news was basically led by the Minister of Arts and Culture, Natim Tetra, who, you know, basically broke the news yesterday. Yeah. And just a whole lot of people sending through their condolences, you know.
Right.
The woman was definitely a legend. So condolences to Thandi Claassen's family. Her daughter also took to Facebook just to, you know, kind of pay tribute and to give thanks to all the people who've been sending through messages of support. Now, today, the Tshwane University of Technology, TUT, says that registrations will begin as planned.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, you always get a little bit nervous, but, you know, things have to get done. So, TUT says that current and prospective students can also make use of the institution's website to register. According to the spokesperson of the university, parents and students should not pay money to any individual who might approach them while queuing. So seemingly there are some opportunists who are trying to make a quick buck by, you know, targeting maybe parents and students who might not necessarily be in the know about everything. So I'm sure the media will be keeping a close eye on TUT campus today just to see if things, in fact, do go smoothly, as we hope they will.
Well, people seem very keen to part with money. If someone came up to me in a queue and said, hey, if you give me $100 now, I can do X, Y, I wouldn't believe them. Would you believe them?
No.
We wouldn't believe them, but, you know, not everybody...
Mind you, people give money to preachers who make them kiss snakes and drink petrol. So I suppose, you know, you land in the land of the blind, the one-eyed is king. Be grateful that you wouldn't fall for this stuff. Other people do.
Mm.
All right. And listen, I really hope this academic year doesn't get bogged down in protests and bullshit, because people have got things to do. We do not have time for this, with peace and love. Right, Mubs?
Look, the majority of students in this country want to go about their business.
Mm.
You know, this is the thing. So, yeah, we hope that everything runs smoothly today on TUT campus and, you know, every other campus after the fact, because it is about that time of year where students are going to get ready to go back to campus.
We're going to have Prof. Cheryl Delaray in the studio sometime this week, and we'll play that out for you, where she's the Vice Chancellor and Rector of University of Pretoria, which is the one university last year that kind of kept its shit together. And so it'll be interesting to hear how they handle this academic year. All right.
All right. So Absa Bank dealing with a bit of a scandal, if you will, a bit of a reputation problem after the weekend.
I need to understand this. I don't know what's going on here.
So, you know, this is after the Mail and Guardian reported on Friday that a preliminary report by public protector Busisiwe Mkhwebane has recommended that the bank pay back 2.25 billion rand of an unlawful apartheid-era bank bailout. So this very big outstanding amount pertains to the bank's acquisition of Bankcorp back in 1992. Bankcorp started receiving assistance from the South African Reserve Bank in 1985.
Wow.
And in a statement which was released by Absa, they indicated that all obligations to the South African Reserve Bank had been discharged in full by October 1995. But no, the public protector says otherwise. The timing of the report's release has basically gotten everybody in the political sphere talking.
So this is something that happened before apartheid ended, and that's only being resolved now?
Can you imagine?
What kind of incompetence is this? That they've only just dealt with it now? And that... the whole time we didn't know this was going on until Busisiwe Mkhwebane came in? What, are you kidding me?
Or if you'll believe some journalists who've, you know, been kind of tweeting up a storm over the weekend, I saw Ridi Tlhabi tweeting something along the lines of, we would all be surprised at who are the people who've been trying to cover this up.
Hmm.
And so that might have a lot to do with it. The fact that it's only being revealed now is because for all these years, it's been a massive cover-up operation with people trying to hide certain things from the public.
I'm always amazed at how there are some really rare... Ah, look, here's Anthea Gardner. She knows stuff about this.
Please do. I mean, you probably know a lot more than I do, Anthea.
Look at this. It's very rare that we have Anthea on hand to answer these questions. All right, so what's going on here?
stormed your studio. Sorry. So, okay. So, first of all, this is something that happened in 1992, where ABSA borrowed money from Bancorp, which they then purchased. So, basically, Bancorp had got a loan from the Saab. Mm-hmm. Because ABSA purchased Bancorp, they could borrow the money that Saab had loaned Bancorp at 1% interest rate.
Okay.
They then invested it in government bonds at a 16% return.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are saying, well, they've paid back the capital of the loan, but they haven't paid back the interest. And in fact, at some stage, and I can't remember the exact date, they did go to Tito Mboweni, who was the governor of the Reserve Bank at the time, and said, you know, this is a big deal. You need to get ABSA to pay it back. But it just never happened. So they paid back the capital, but not the interest. Just for the record, at the last results presentation, ABSA, or sorry, it's now Barclays Capital, Barclays Africa Group is now what it is, made a revenue for the half of the year of 36.5 billion rand, just to put it in perspective.
Okay, so this is a drop in the ocean to them.
Yeah.
Have any laws been broken here? Has a crime been committed?
So yes, there was an irregularity, and it really is partly the Reserve Bank's decision and the FSB, and more so the Reserve Bank decision, because they borrowed money at a very low rate, invested it at a very high rate, and a little bit of technicalities. I think it's interesting that they're calling this an apartheid-era bailout, you know, because actually what happens is that ABSA bought Bancorp. Okay, and they so used
they're
the
trying
funding.
To make it sound more controversial than it really is. It's a contract that's a little bit dodgy. To say the least.
Yes. It's not great. This is definitely an issue, but I'm not sure it's a political one.
Yeah, but you know, in this country, everything's political.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Well, it becomes political when all the politicians start to weigh in and get involved.
And so the most annoying thing about this, the way they're making it a political situation, is that actually when Barclays Group started trading on Friday morning, the share was hugely down. And guess what? It impacts our portfolios all of a sudden. So they're making a lot of noise about this. And the only people who suffer are us, the shareholders, and the people and the people who have it in their pension funds.
Yeah, well, outrageous.
Yeah, this is actually a question that I want to know. Would any clients, or rather customers of ABSA, be affected by any of this negatively?
Current clients? No. Previous clients? Probably more the corporate banking, because they were on lending it, but not really. It's more a corporate issue.
Okay, all right. Sure. I mean, as long as it doesn't filter down into ordinary, you know, South Africans who are just going about their business trying to live.
I wonder how many rich people there are in this country who have benefited from really, really dodgy stuff and are just keeping shtum about it. They just don't say a word. Nobody investigates them. They fly underneath the radar and they scored like a couple of hundred million out of political stuff. You know, the end of apartheid, the beginning of the new regime, the kind of transition between presidents, because there's a lot of, you could brush a lot of stuff under the carpet and get away with it. The stuff that we hear about is the stuff that's come to the top, you know? It's kind of been filtered through. I want to know how many of these people, you see them driving around in fancy cars, high walls in certain suburbs. You know there's someone in there who's done something. Yeah, there, obviously there are a lot of people who make their money legitimately, but there are just as many who've made their money illegitimately.
So the general rule is don't get caught. No, really, that's what it sounds
it like.
Because some people have gotten away with it, and then others didn't, only because they got caught.
Yeah.
And it's quite subtle as well. It's not as much people giving business people huge amounts of capital for free. It's like this ABSA thing where you get a loan at very beneficial rates. Like, the bank's not going to give you a loan
that.
At 1%.
I want that.
Exactly. I want a loan at 1%, please, if you don't mind.
All right. We'll get to the money shot in a moment. Thank you, Anthea. Anthea jumping in there with that story about ABSA, which is interesting, and clearing up some stuff around it for us. Let's get to Ben's sport. What do you got for us, Ben? Do you want your intro?
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
You want the old school one, this one?
No, yes, this one.
Right. Da, 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 da. Yeah.
What a weekend of golf. So Rory McIlroy was the huge favorite, as you heard from me on Thursday, as I was like a small kid in a candy store.
Yep.
It was an incredible event at Glendower. The weather held as well. It was meant to be very rainy all weekend. It wasn't, thankfully. And McIlroy, well, he rose to the top. After 13 holes, he drew with Graham Storm, who is basically an old doddery guy who lost his tour card last year, and everyone just thought, well, he's going to fall away from here.
Graham Storm,
someone I know even put quite a lot of money on it. And then McIlroy, well, he did hold firm up until the 17th, and then he pushed the tee shot, and it's the only place you can't leave it on that hole, which is basically trapped against the bunker on the right, or the pin on the right. He went on to make bogey. Him and Storm then finished on 18 under together, and then playoff time it was. Now, McIlroy had been nursing a back injury all week, so much so that he always pulled out of the tournament halfway. He sort of powered through, kept taking anti-inflammatories, and he had his back pretty badly taped up. Graham Storm had a very simple strategy, just play a 5-wood and then just try getting the green and make a putt. And eventually he outlasted McIlroy, the old-timer. He literally did lose his tour card. This is a guy who hadn't won in 10 years.
It's okay? Incredible.
10 years ago was his last win. He arrived at Glendower, he got a local caddy, some dude who just works at the Wanderers, and the two of them, SA Open champion. It was one of the greatest scenes in local, or obviously the greatest scene in local golf. The crowd was everywhere.
That's phenomenal.
And McIlroy was beaten, world number two, beaten by Graham Storm. So this is like life-changing for him, and obviously he enjoyed the moment. McIlroy now goes on and gets an MRI scan in his back, despite thinking that he was going to go into the season fresh. He did have a back problems, and he'll have a scan before playing in Abu Dhabi this weekend, but everything should be okay. It's just a precautionary thing, apparently. Okay. Justin Thomas went back-to-back, so he won twice in Hawaii. This week, he shot 59, 64, 65, 65. That is a new PGA Tour scoring record of 253. He started this Hawaii swing 22nd in the world. He's now 8th in the world. Justin Thomas, look out for him. He's the youngest player to ever win two tournaments like this in Hawaii. Only the second guy after Ernie Els to win these two tournaments in Hawaii. And minus 27. Try beat that. It was a good tournament after that, actually. The race for second was huge. Anyway, that's your golf for the weekend. Wow, wow, was it big. Loads and loads of cricket, too. Let's start with Bangladesh, right? Now, we all know Bangladesh aren't very good. Well, they scored 595 runs for 8 declared in the first innings. What a total that was. New Zealand, well, they scored 539, and then Bangladesh had bundled up for 160 for 9. One of the guys hit in the head had to be taken to hospital, so just for 9. And now New Zealand, well, they're going to just romp.
He got hit in the head?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, he got a bouncer, Gareth. He turned his head because obviously he was shit scared of what was about to come towards him and hit him on the back of the head.
With the ball?
Yep. So okay. He precautionary.
When you get smacked in the face with a cricket bat, that would have been much worse, right?
Well, it's not something to really make light of, seeing as a guy died last year.
Oh, 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 ow, 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 stop, oh, stop, oh, 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 I can't breathe, stop.
That, of course, is the audio from the stump mic. And Bangladesh, of course, they couldn't carry on. So 160. And New Zealand, well, they're about to take the honors here. Kane Williamson, 99 not out. Huge win for them. But a big result yesterday was England. Wow, what a start they had to the ODI series against India. They scored a staggering 350 runs. They went even better. They had India at reeling at 63 for 4.
Wow.
And in true English fashion, they still managed to lose from there. Yadav and Kohli, they both scored 120 and 122 respectively. So they went from 63 for 4, 263 for 5, and they beat England with 11 balls remaining. Virat Kohli pretty much is a god of cricket. He scored his 2700 yesterday, right? It took him 169 matches to do so. Next best, Sachin Tendulkar, who is actually a god, and you can pray to him. Took 254.
He's one of the registered deities.
He's one of the registered deities in India. Gareth, how's this for comparison? Kohli played 169 matches for 27 ODI 100s. Tendulkar, 254.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of a lot.
Well, he's a god.
He is. Virat Kohli is a god. He's got better hair. And, well, people love him. And so they should. 122. He scored more centuries in second innings of ODI cricket than any Englishman has ever scored in his whole life.
Yeah.
In ODI cricket. Incredible. Also pretty incredible with the Proteas. I know Sri Lanka are piss poor right now, but still the Proteas rolled them over. Innings and 118 runs. Just look at the scores there. Umla 134, Dubini 155, Sri Lanka 131, and Sri Lanka 177.
Yeah.
So they got absolutely hammered. So that was that. And Pakistan, they fought back manfully in the cricket in Australia. They got dicked in the first game by 92 runs, and then they came back and won by 6 wickets yesterday. So good on them. Because they've had a bit of a rotten run of things there.
Mm.
In football, AFCON started, and it started in the most boring of fashions. Gabon won, Guinea-Bissau won, Burkina Faso won, Cameroon won. Pretty much at this stage, everyone was going, well, screw it, I'll just watch the English Premier League instead. But then, Zimbabwe, They came back. They were 1-0 down against Algeria. They scored to go 1-1. They then scored again to go 2-1 with just Mahrez having to save the Algerians. So 2-2, that one finished. The highest ranked team in the FIFA world ranking, Senegal, they pushed aside Tunisia 2-0. And then today we've got Ivory Coast versus Togo at 6 and Democratic Republic of Congo versus Morocco at 9. Those times, South African times. Right. Real Madrid finally got beaten. 40-match unbeaten run ended by Sevilla, who now go just 1 point behind Real in La Liga. And in the English Premier League, well, Pep Guardiola, I know he's a good-looking guy. Women lose their shit for him. He really is. But he's having a tough time in England. He really is. He suffered his biggest league defeat ever.
Shame.
At Everton. So at Everton, Man City 0, Everton 4.
Of course, the consequences of a football manager not doing well are terrible. There are floods, people die, awful things, diseases spread,
families break apart,
stock markets crash,
daughters go on the game. Yeah, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. But no such promise for Spurs. They hammered West Brom 4-0, Arsenal hammered Swansea 4-0, and Chelsea hammered Leicester 3-0. So those two teams flying high. And then Man United, well, in the 81st minute, they were 1-0 down against Liverpool, but then Zlatan Ibrahimovic, he scored. And his ponytail just flew in the wind after that. He's trotted back to halfway. What a hero. So that leaves the log looking like this right now. Chelsea on top, 52 points. Spurs, 45 points. Liverpool also on 45, but third by virtue of goal difference. Arsenal in Arsenal's position, fourth and 44. Man City now dropped down to fifth and 42. And Man United are bringing up the top six there on 40 points. Wow, what an exciting league that is. Hmm. And I shall talk about the tennis in the next hour.
All right. But first, we need to get into important things with Anthea on the stock market and generally have a look at what's going on with your money. Very 90s version. Anthea Gardner is right here, the Money Shot, which takes place every morning at around about this time where we get to find out all about what's happening with Anthea. So let's start up with a market update, shall we?
Okay, it's been a fantastic year, hasn't it? The market was up again on Friday. We were up about 0.5%, I think.
Excellent.
Overall, all indices, all the major indices anyway, were higher. Retailers, unbelievable. They were on fire on Friday. And this is after Truworths put out a trading update after market closed on Thursday evening. Truworths closed the day 8% higher. I mean, there were some others as well. You know, like even Mr. Price was up on the day 4%, Woolworths 4%, Massmart over 5%. So really good. The surprise, though, is that these retailers were higher because Truworths update was a little bit shocking. They did increase sales by 21% for the half year, but this included the Office Shoe acquisition. So they bought the shoe store from the UK called Office, which obviously will add to revenue. But if you take that out, if you strip out Office, sales growth was actually flat. So there was no sales growth. Mm. And in fact, one of the things that is happening is that cash sales are also not coming through for Truworths, which means that the consumers who have buying power are choosing to shop elsewhere. So they made sales on their credit, on their store cards, basically. So it's like a loyalty thing, you know, and you can get credit on your card. But if you had cash, you were choosing to shop somewhere else that was slightly cheaper. And Truworths is known for being slightly higher on price points than, say, your Mr. Price or your Foschini group.
Okay.
So that was the concern. I mean, this is a share that has come under a lot of pressure in the last year, I think. So, you know, in about April of last year, it was 111 Rand share. It's now 82 Rand share. And I know that at some stage it's going to have to turn around because it is a good store. They do make, you know, they've got good footprint. They do provide to general consumer. And the question, I guess, is when. It's when the economy turns, when the consumer doesn't feel like he's always under pressure. And there's a lot of talk all of a sudden about a rate hike in South Africa, which worries me a little bit. Because obviously now the US are going to raise interest rates.
What would happen if they do? Yeah.
Well, it just feels like the consumer's not ready for a rate hike yet, Gareth. And like the consumer's still under a lot of pressure. He just doesn't need to be paying more for his mortgage and his bank loans and his car loans and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm worried about.
Talking about astral foods?
Yeah. So there's also a lot of talk at the moment about the chicken industry in South Africa.
Yeah, there was a whole thing about it last night on TV.
Oh, I missed it.
Yeah, that we basically have to – where our market is flooded with all the horrible parts of the chicken that nobody else wants.
Cheap imports.
Yeah.
Subsidized cheap imports, right?
Right, and then our own chicken industry is falling to pieces.
Absolutely, yes. So they don't get subsidized.
I would rather buy a chicken from someone who's growing it here.
Sure, but would you rather pay more or less?
At least you know it's a chicken. I'd rather pay more because you know it's a chicken. You don't know what that thing is that they put in a packet at the bottom of the freezer, unlabeled.
Oh.
Could be bits of dead people. You don't know.
Okay, I might never eat chicken again after this morning.
Once it had a hoof.
Oh, God.
Chickens don't have hooves, do they?
Sometimes, apparently.
Yeah.
So the chicken industry is already under a lot of pressure because of these cheap imports. And Astral Foods was up 4% on Friday, but it was down like 5% the day before because they're in a municipality that hasn't paid its electricity. And the Astral Foods CEO was saying that they've paid their bills. They've paid everything. And just because the municipality hasn't paid Eskom, Eskom are now going to cut power to that municipality. And I mean, this is huge for Astral because they are dependent. You know, they work with livestock, so they've got to feed, they've got to water, they've got a farm or a belt that runs 24 hours. And I think the electricity cuts are only 2 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon. But even so, that's a significant amount of downtime for Astral Foods. So I'm surprised the share was up, but maybe they've come to some agreement with Eskom or the municipality.
Okay.
But it's a share that's struggling at the moment, I think, just even though it was up 4% on Friday.
All right.
Just because of that.
We discussed the ABSA situation. What about Moody's?
Yes, because you're referring to their fine, obviously, right? Uh-huh. So Moody's agreed on Saturday morning or Friday evening that they were going to pay a fine of $864 million for their role in the 2008 GFC, the Global Financial
Crisis. Good. Yes. About time these ratings agencies got nailed for that.
Well, in 2015, Standard & Poor's did actually pay a fine or agreed to pay a fine of over $1 billion.
Yep.
So slightly different. Standard & Poor's are the bigger of the two, credit rating agencies. And actually the Standard & Poor's one, the only reason they agreed to pay over $1 billion is because actually the fine was about, and it was a lawsuit. So the Justice Department didn't just say we're going to fine you. They actually filed an official lawsuit, and Standard & Poor's came back and said, okay, we'll pay, I don't know, $1.4 billion, whatever it is, dollars. And so now Moody's have done the same. They're saying, okay, we're going to pay a fine. And half of it will go to the Justice Department, and the other half will be divided up by the 21 states that had brought this lawsuit against them, including the District of Columbia, which is Washington, D.C.
Okay, but now how does a ratings agency make its money?
So that was the issue.
How do they have $1 billion to pay over in fines?
That was the problem in 2008, is because companies, banks pay them for ratings.
Okay. And then they gave nonsense ratings.
Yes. So what they did, and especially with the derivatives, the CDOs,
subprime.
What they would do is they would take all these loans, and some of them were AAA rated loans, and some of them were sub-investment, some of them were really bad, like subprime,
junk,
as you call it. Junk. There we go. They'd put it all together. The banks would do this. They'd put it all together, parcel it nicely so it looks good, give it to Moody's or Standard & Poor's or Fitch, and say, now please rate us. Moody's or Standard & Poor's or Fitch would then rate it by the highest bond that was, or the credit that was in there, and almost forget about all the junk that was underlying. So they wouldn't give it a fair credit score, and that was where the problem came in. So basically, Moody's are paying because they didn't adhere to their own standards of ratings.
Good.
And you've got to wonder. So I always wonder because you know this credit rating issue is coming up again for us.
Yes. No. I was just thinking. So few people went to jail for that whole thing.
Oh, yes.
People lost their houses. The economy crashed. Everything went wrong. Nobody went to jail.
Yeah. Definitely. And basically, the man in the street paid for the bank bailouts, right?
Yep.
So basically, I think letting Lehman's fall, although it was very scary at at the time was probably not a bad thing. You know, just let it fail. Let the bank fail.
Absolutely. All right, let's go. We've got a lot of other things to do.
Okay.
We've got some questions from our hashtag investors.
Yeah, we call them that. We don't call them listeners anymore.
I had two people ask me about this over the weekend, so I gave them your email address.
Right.
Okay, so let's look at one of these emails. Go for it.
So I got an email from a guy called Jean who says, so many questions, but let's start with, for the amount of money I am investing, am I choosing the right portfolio, basically using this as a savings fund for my family? So it's not about how much money you save, it's about what your risk profile is. And if you're saving for the long term and you're wanting to make a lot of money, then go for the aggressive. If you're saving more short term, then go for the conservative portfolios and anything in between, you know, either our balanced or our growth portfolios. The reason if you're saving short term is that the long term portfolios come with volatility. They do come, and we've had a great run. Really, the portfolios are doing really well. We've started off the year very well, but there is a chance that when you need your money next month, that the market could have turned. And so that's why I say go for the conservative portfolio, because it's got less equity. In fact, the conservative portfolio has got no equity in it. It's only got bonds which are paying yields above bank rate yields, but that's the idea. You know, we're trying to at least beat money at the in the bank or under the mattress in this conservative portfolio. And then he says, how long before I access my money again? So the great thing about this is that you can access your money whenever you want. So all the portfolios, one of the key things I've done is made sure they're all very liquid. And even though I say in the conservative portfolio, leave your money there for 6 months, or for the aggressive for a minimum of 3 years, you can actually, if you wanted to, you can access it tomorrow. And so the stock market is a T+3 settlement at the moment. So you go in, you sell some of whatever you're holding in your portfolio, or you sell your conservative portfolio, it'll sell it whatever the underlying is in proportion to what's in your portfolio, and in 3 days' time you have your cash.
Okay, so there's no danger that it's going to be locked up forever.
Not at all. Not no. In fact, that like that is fairly key.
Okay.
And then he wants to know, after I start investing, will I have sway over the products that the money gets used for? And the question, the answer to that is no. I manage these portfolios. And I mean, that's the whole point of having four different portfolios, is that I'm holding your hand through it. So you can see what's in your portfolio. But when I make changes to the portfolio, it'll almost happen automatically. And I will decide where to buy and sell shares.
So you're not going in blind. You're not doing it on your own. You don't take the risk that you would ordinarily without an asset manager involved.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's the benefit of having Anthea.
And without going through a financial advisor who will add an additional layer of fees to this product.
Yeah. What's the highest level of fees we do here?
1.25%.
Right. It's nothing. Exactly. So if you want to get involved, that's what you need to do. Hashtag invest. And you can find out more about that by going to the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com. If you want to email Anthea, I mean, she's got a lot to do, but she can still get to your emails. Invest@cartesian.co.za, right?
That's correct, yes. Thanks, Gareth. Right,
very good. And there are lots of people asking about this, so it's growing in little bits and pieces. Don't be one of those people who joins too late and misses out on potentially some very happy things that are happening in the stock market right now.
Yeah, we've had a good run, actually.
Yeah, it's a very good time to get involved. Well, listen, it's not when you get involved, it's how long you're in for.
That's it.
There we go. So join us on hashtag invest. And honestly, if you've got any questions, just email us. We'll try to deal with all of them. And well done, Jean, for getting hold of Anthea. Whether you've got a little bit of money or a lot of money, you may as well let it grow in the right place. All right. We will be back in a couple of minutes. We're going to just get our bearings. We've got some news stories to get to. You've got a lot of stuff to talk about. There is plenty of info from the weekend that we've got to share, and some things we want to throw out there, you know, shoot the breeze about some stuff. All of that and more on the way. It is cliffcentral.com. It is a Monday. Good morning. Had to meet you where you've been. I could show you incredible things. Cliffcentral.com.